Time is running out. We have two Pedigrees to Pups seminar weekends scheduled with your host teaming up with Dr. Marty Greer. Join us in Austin, Texas, March 27th to 29th, or Onalaska, Wisconsin, April 10th to 12th for a groundbreaking seminar that combines discussion of pedigrees and building a breeding program with down-to-earth veterinary tips on healthy whelping and raising a new litter. We have built a breeding theory and breeding hands-on seminar that creates an all-inclusive understanding of both the art and science of dog breeding. Our goal is a full-circle mentoring experience in a small group format that creates community and opportunities for conversation and connection. Our topics cover everything from the foundation bitch, basic health and structure, reading pedigrees, to progesterone timing, semen evaluation, neonates, and so much more. Check out the events tab at puredogtalk.com for more information. We'll see you there. Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and it is our monthly veterinary voice, Dr. Marty Greer, joining us. And this should be really interesting. Marty was talking to me the other day about something that showed up in her clinic, and I'm like, wait, what? As breeders, the start of a new year is the perfect time to set resolutions that prioritize what matters most, your puppies and their future. Unexpected accidents and illnesses can happen at any time, but you can ensure your litters and their new families are prepared for whatever comes their way with Trupanion's exclusive 30-day go-home offer. By joining Trupanion's free breeder support program, you can send your puppies home with their own special go-home offer, giving them immediate medical insurance coverage and protecting them from the moment they leave your care. This year, resolve to give yourself and your puppy buyers the ultimate gift of peace of mind as a member of Trupanion's breeder support program. Just stop by Pure Dog Talk website, puredogtalk.com, go to the partners page, and click the link there. That will let you sign up today and make 2026 the year of happy, healthy pups. So anyway, you're going to have to explain to me, Marty, what the difference is between idiosyncratic and idiopathic. Because we're talking about idiosyncratic reaction to fenbendazole, which we all know as Panacure and we all use. And you startled me with the information that there had been a pet in your practice with a reaction to it. So let's kind of talk through that.
So idiopathic is different than idiosyncratic. Idiosyncratic means peculiar to an individual, which it means that it's just a really odd kind of a response that a patient has that is not the typical side effect to a medication. Idiopathic means that it is more difficult to figure out because it's caused by, so it's related or denoting a disease or condition which arises spontaneously or for which no cause is known. So we kind of joke around in medicine saying idiopathic means you have something pathologic and I'm an idiot and can't figure out what it is because it's just a really unusual. It's one of the zebras, you know, basically.
Zebras. Well, and we think, I mean, the reference in which I have heard idiopathic is regarding epilepsy, that they can't identify, you know, a brain tumor or whatever's causing the seizures.
Right. It isn't necessarily caused by the inherited kind of epilepsy. It's not caused by a drug. It's not caused by a head injury. It's not caused by a whole bunch of other things that we know about. Mm-hmm. But idiosyncratic is just a really unusual one-off kind of reaction where, you know, there's a lot of drugs like, say, prednisone. You know that those patients are going to urinate more, drink more, eat more. That's a known side effect. Mm-hmm. But an idiosyncratic reaction is one where it's really, really off the wall crazy. So I had a 10-month-old French bulldog intact female puppy that came to the practice one Sunday afternoon when I was working. And she had been in and out of the practice in December a couple of times. So this is pretty recent. A couple of times with loose stools, and the fecal samples were showing Giardia on the PCR test. So my doctor put the dog on fenbendazole, which is an appropriate treatment. She put her on for 5 days, which is our typical 5-day course for Giardia. The label says 3 days, but for Giardia, you really need to use it for 5. So that was the beginning of December. She came back at the end of December, still having loose stools, did another fecal, still positive on the PCR test. And that's not unusual because even the company that makes the test, IDEXX, can't tell us how long that test stays positive. Once the active infection is gone and there aren't any cysts left in the stool, it can still show positive on the PCR test. So she put her on a 10-day course of fenbendazole. Again, commonly done, not unusual, technically off-label, but frequently done. And I have been using for 20-some years fenbendazole Panacure on the 42-day course for the pregnant bitches from the last 3 weeks of the pregnancy to the first 2 weeks of lactation to manage the migration of parasites through the milk and through the placenta. So roundworms through the placenta and hookworms through the milk so that the puppies don't end up with a problem. And so we've been pretty much using it like water in our practice, and a lot of other veterinarians do too. It's thought to be a better choice than metronidazole for Giardia for a lot of reasons. And so a lot of veterinarians use it pretty liberally. You can buy it without a prescription, so that should tell you something about the safety. And it was approved in November of 1983. So this is a 43-year-old drug. This is not a drug that's just recently come to market that we're like, oh, wow, we didn't know it was going to do that. But this little Frenchie came in, having not been feeling very well from December 29th until the day I saw her. She came in, not right. I took her temperature. Temp was 104.8. Otherwise, she looked fine. She was laying on the table sort of like resembling a throw rug. She didn't want to lift her head. She didn't want to move. But there were no respiratory signs. And in a Frenchie, you kind of expect to see something. Respiratory signs, no GI signs, no vomiting, no diarrhea, no coughing, sneezing, runny eyes, runny nose. Nothing that really pointed to what system she was being affected by, but just flat. Mm-hmm. And 10-month-old French bulldog puppies
ADR
aren't normally flat on your exam table. So I said, well, let's do some blood work. So did a chemistry panel that came back normal, did a CBC on her. Her white count came back 400. It's supposed to be 4,000 to 14,000. It was 400 in the range that we think of parvovirus or something else.
Right.
Her platelet count came back 19,000, and it should be 150,000 to 450,000. Wow. And her red blood cell count came back pretty much in the normal range. But some puppies are a little anemic, so, you know, nothing that was really unusual. But the platelet count and the white count really had me concerned. So I was thinking, what has she gotten into? What is affecting this? Is this a virus? She has two Labrador housemates. They're fine. They're healthy. They're happy. They're all eating the same thing. Nobody else seems sick at the house. So does she have a virus? Well, she's probably got a virus. She's running a fever, has a low white count, probably has a virus. Checked her for tick-borne diseases because we're in Wisconsin, the land of Ehrlichia, Lyme disease, and anaplasmosis. That all came back negative, but it could be early in the course of the disease, or it could be that she has a tick-borne disease. It's not on that test for the three that we normally do on the Accuplex or the SNAP40EX. So, okay, here's some doxycycline. Here's some Serenia to help you feel better and get you to eat. Go home, come back. Let's see how you're feeling. Gave her some fluid, some supportive care. Said, I'm sure in 48 hours, this is going to run its course. You'll be fine. Lo and behold, comes back on Tuesday. Her temp is still 104.8. Her white count has now climbed. No. Her white count has now climbed to 700. So it's doubled, but it's still profoundly low. Her platelet count is now zero.
Oh, shit.
And her red count is starting to decline. So I ran a parvo test on her because one of my doctors and I were conversing, well, could it be a virus? Could it be parvo that she just doesn't have the typical GI signs with? Because that can happen in the older dogs. I mean, she's not older. She's 10 months, but she's old enough that she's past the point you normally expect to see parvo. That came back negative, took x-rays, did imaging with the ultrasound, found nothing. started her on medication, assuming that she had some kind of an immune-mediated disorder from a vaccination, you know, pancytopenia, something from one of those vaccines, or the kind of problems that we see with autoimmune disease. Don't really know what would have triggered her autoimmune disease because she's young, but here we are. She's a female. It's more common in females. That night, Dan and I got in the car. We were going out to dinner to meet some friends. And as we're driving along, he's like, well, what drug has she been on? And I said, you know, she really hasn't been on anything that should cause it. Trimethoprim sulfa, Albon. There's a few drugs that can cause pretty profound platelet counts to drop, but not really. And then I went, wait a minute, hold on. Remember Dr. Kowaleski sent us that article, that the Dear Veterinarian letter, she had found it, come across it when she was looking at it, and that there have been reports of reptiles and other species, rabbits, that are on fenbendazole panacur that have pancytopenia. And it has been reported, as of April of 2024, it had been reported in 12 dogs.
Oh, wow.
12. This is not a big number.
Yeah.
Not a big number when you consider how many dogs are on it and other species, cattle, right. Horses, goats. Pigs, chickens, goats, rabbits, you name it. Everybody uses it. That's fenbendazole. When we were in vet school, there was albendazole, there was fenbendazole. One of our instructors called them the Bendazole brothers. You know, that's sort of the thing that rings in your head as my parasitology instructor standing in the front talking about the Bendazole brothers. And really, the side effects are pretty much like non-existent. So I pulled up the article, did some reading, looked on VIN, which is the Veterinary Information Network, found one other case in a Doberman of it. Now, the article with the Dear Veterinarian letter did not reflect what breeds were affected, but it did say 12 dogs. So I pulled off the phone, called the client, said, this is what I think is going on. I'm going to have you come back in a couple more days. We'll check the blood count again. The drug had been withdrawn already because she had done the 10-day course. But I'd put her on prednisone and I'd put her on Atopica to treat her for an autoimmune disease. Let's see how she's doing. Well, within 24 hours of starting those two drugs, she was back to normal. She was bouncing around. She felt great. Her temp was down. She was eating. She was drinking. She was playing with the other dogs. She felt wonderful. But I said, she really hasn't got any platelets. So be very, 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 very careful that she doesn't fall down the stairs or get bumped in the yard by the other dogs, roughhousing, or any of the things that could cause her to spontaneously bleed. So she came back a week later and her blood counts are absolutely perfect. So our assumption, I can't prove, but I'm assuming that that's what she had. So I called the manufacturer of the drug to report it as an idiosyncratic reaction, because that's what you should do. And I was using the large animal product, so I technically cannot apply for any kind of compensation for the client because it wasn't the small animal granules. The granules are harder to give than the liquid, but it may change how I look at my future drug choices. But the veterinarian I talked to has been working for this company for 21 years. And she said, what? I've not heard of that. I'm like, great. So she pulls up the letter. We're reading through it together and going through the whole thing. So it has been reported. There are very few dogs that have ever had this reaction, but it doesn't mean that's not what it is. Now, one of my doctors is still skeptical. She still thinks that it was more autoimmune. And the only way we would find out for sure would be to put her back on the panacur for another 10 days and see what she does. But that seems like a really, really terrible idea. So it's like repeating a breeding because you got some weird thing and saying, well, let's breed the two together again, or let's breed the mother to the son, which is actually what was proposed to me at one point in my breeding program. And I like, no, we're not going to try that. But I think it's important that people are aware that there can be these kinds of idiosyncratic reactions, not just to fenbendazole, but to many, many, many drugs. And there are a lot of people, and I have a client that I've seen twice in the last month that is regularly taking fenbendazole off-label because they are pretty convinced that it's going to improve their health. So I did talk to her about this idiosyncratic reaction. I don't know most of my client's medical history as well as I know hers because she's very generous in sharing the information. But I think it's important that people are aware that those things happen. And it doesn't mean that you should scrutinize every drug to the point of being terrified to use them. But I do think that as consumers, whether it's our dogs or ourselves, that we should read the package inserts before we start a drug.
Well, and I think more than I'm going to quit using Panacur, which is not a thing, it's just an awareness piece. Like, you wouldn't have thought of it if you hadn't had that dear veterinarian letter. So this is our version of a dear veterinarian letter to the listeners.
Right.
To say, you know, something weird happens if you've got a dog on right. panicure, maybe, you know, be aware that this is a potential to add to the differentials that you're looking at.
Right. And you don't have to be a veterinarian to find the letter. You can just Google it. So anytime you want to take a look, just type in dear veterinarian letter fenbendazole and it'll bring it up. But many drugs have idiosyncratic mm-hmm. reactions. And that means that a lot of these things can happen. My dad at one point was taking famotidine, Pepcid, and he was getting sicker and sicker with his GI disease, finally read the package insert and said, oh, all the side effects that I'm having are exactly what's causing my issues. So he stopped the Pepcid and he got better. So we need to be informed consumers. We need to pay attention. We need to read those things and just be wise about it. And it goes along with the same thing with all the heartworm and all the flea and tick medications for our breeding dogs. Mm-hmm. You can pull up the package insert out of the package, unfold that thing that looks like a map, and then try to read the little letters, or you can
use a magnifying glass.
Yeah. You can type into Google package insert for whatever drug you want to look mm-hmm. for, and mm-hmm. then the PDF, and then you can do a search by hitting Control F for find, and do a search for pregnancy, breeding, breeder, any of the terms that you're looking for. Male, female, whatever it happens to be. And you can very quickly scan through that giant document that's 2 feet by 2 feet and has mm-hmm. print the size of a 5 font and assure yourself that what your veterinarian has prescribed for you is safe for your breeding animal. Because not all veterinarians are aware of some of the drug mm-hmm. package inserts for some of these things if they're not familiar with breeders. Not all of them may be aware that this dog is a breeding dog. If it's an 8-week-old male puppy and you trot in the vet clinic with a brand new puppy, they may not be aware that he's your next stud dog. So those are the things that you need to be as an informed consumer that you're looking up these things. And like I said, don't get to the point that you're freaked out and won't take any medication because everything has a side effect. And as Dr. Plum, who wrote the big formulary, Dr. Plum is an amazing person. He is a pharmacist, a PharmD, who has devoted his life to the veterinary drugs. He used to work at the University of Minnesota in their pharmacy. He lives in Wisconsin. I've met him personally a couple of times. He still does some relief work in pharmacies. So he's still an active practicing pharmacist, but he has the 5 Plum pontifications. And one of them is anything can cause anything. One is all drugs have side effects. Avoid all drugs if you can, if they're pregnant, and even if they're not. So there's some things that you just need to be smart about is you just don't randomly start putting your dog on antibiotics or anti-inflammatories or any of these other drugs that you might have sitting around for your pets or yourself without talking to your veterinarian and being aware of what the potential side effects are if she's bred, all kinds of things. I had a client that put her dog on Albon during the pregnancy and unfortunately caused all of the puppies in the litter to have a midline defect. So, you know, there's things you just need to be smart about and avoid. So don't just willy-nilly go up in the cabinet and say, well, you know, it's 6 o'clock at night and my vet clinic is closed. I'm just going to do this. You need to get some veterinary input.
Yeah. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, you guys, the stunning Doberman Pinscher Penny has earned a spot in history as the best in show winner of the 150th Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show presented by Purina Pro Plan. Penny, who is fed ProPlan Sport Performance 3020 chicken and rice formula, has also etched a place in ProPlan history as number 19 of the past 20 Westminster winners fed ProPlan dog food. In 2025, Penny was one of the 96 out of 100 top show dogs fed ProPlan dog food, the top choice of owners and handlers of show dogs. To learn more about ProPlan dog food fed to show champions like Westminster winner Penny, visit purina.com/ProPlan/dogs. The rankings noted above are based on Dog News Magazine's Top 100 Dogs, AKC All Breed Competition, and Reserve Bests in Show through 12/31/25. Like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk is here for you to make sense out of everyday things, to add nuance to your understanding, and tools to your tech box. To bring history to life and propel the living history of purebred dogs into the future. So, serious observation. What do you guys think I hear more often than crooked judges and professional handlers win everything? I hear a continuing cry for community. So, for folks who are looking to have meaningful conversation, avoid keyboard warriors, and join a welcoming and knowledgeable group, we offer you an option. Forget about spilling the tea. Drink from a well of thoughtful and thought-provoking dog people. Pure Dog Talk patrons support the work we do here by contributing to our crowdsourcing campaign. For as little as $10 a month, you can keep the MP3s rolling here at Pure Dog Talk. You can contribute to the future of purebred dogs by building the fortunes of the Marty and Laura show. You can gain access to a private Facebook group, private After Dark Zoom room, and private Laura Unleashed podcast episodes. Even your own Pure Dog Talk digital badge. Visit puredogtalk.com/patron to find out how you can join the best community in dogs. I just last year had to go through steroid treatment, and it turns out I'm, as my rheumatologist said, guess you're one of those people that's susceptible. I'm like, no, really? What was your first clue? So people and dogs, we all have these things. And it just reminds me of, you know, you're watching a television program and some advertisement comes on for the newest wonder drug. And you listen to the 10-mile long list of side effects. And you're like, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. Sometimes the drugs are worse than the things that they're trying to treat. Yeah. So you have to be really careful and really aware. And if you haven't noticed, when you watch the commercials for these new drugs, they're pretty interesting. Many of them are for immune-mediated diseases, yes. The IL-31s and all kinds of things for Crohn's and rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis and all the immune-mediated diseases.
All of the stuff, I feel it.
Right. And then all the GLP-1, GLP-3 drugs for the weight loss. And if you watch the commercials, my husband had not noticed this. I'm sure you have because you're who you are. But when you watch the commercial, most of the time, the people are dressed in the same color as the package is on the commercial. So Dupixent or, you know, whatever.
The pink outfits and the blue outfits. Yeah.
Yeah. They're wearing these vibrant colors that match exactly what the package looks like. It's like, wow, who knew?
Advertising and marketing is its own thing, man.
But there's so much advertising. The drug companies on the veterinary side and on the human side are really starting to dictate to the consumer what drugs they should go in and ask for. And so that's really reason for concern. Those are things that you have to be aware of. And yes, think carefully about the things that you're putting into your pets and into yourself, because they're not always as safe as you would like to believe.
Yeah. 100% on that one. Okay. So while we're on this particular topic, we have done along the way different zebras, and you mentioned zebras earlier. I don't think we need to rehash zebras, but what if you can identify some other like idiosyncratic or other oddball things that we might see? We've talked a little bit about metronidazole, that in certain dosages can cause seizure activity.
Right. And other neurologic symptoms, hypermetria, overstepping, goose stepping, that kind of thing. So yeah, the therapeutic index on metronidazole is pretty narrow. Therapeutic dose is 50 mg per kg and the toxic dose is 65. And if you have certain breeds, particularly the MDR1 dogs, those have to be really carefully watched. And of course, if you do have a breed that may be an MDR1 dog, you're going to be especially careful with some of your drugs. But don't over-exaggerate that. I had somebody that asked me if they could vaccinate their dog because it's an MDR1 dog. I'm like, yes, you can. There's nothing about vaccines that should cause you concern relating to MDR. Now, vaccines aren't uniformly 100% safe, but MDR1 is not one of the things that we're concerned about. So if you have MDR1 dogs, which are typically the white-footed dogs, the Border Collies, the Shelties, the Collies, the Corgis, some of the other white-footed breeds, or other dogs that may have some of those breeds in them, look carefully at the drugs. compare that to what your veterinarian is prescribing. I did mention the trimethoprim sulfa, Bactrim, Albon. That category of drugs can cause low platelets. And there are three breeds that I never touch trimethoprim sulfa for. Three breeds, Samoyeds, Dobermans, and Golden Retrievers, because I have created thrombocytopenic dogs and Borzoi, my sister's Borzoi. You can have these really unusual reactions where the platelet count can drop to zero. I had one client that called and said, can dogs get the measles? And I said, no, why? She said, well, he's got blotches on his belly. I said, oh my gosh, that means he's bruising and he doesn't have any platelets. So let's stop the drug now. So drugs can cause that, but those things can happen spontaneously. They can happen with Ehrlichia. There's a lot of reasons that they can have those bruises. So just be thoughtful. I can't really go through what every drug possibly can do or can have for side effects.
Right.
But it is something that you can be aware of. Most of the time, you can Google these things and find good information. So just be an informed consumer is really the best advice that I can give you, is pay attention. If they hand you the materials that go with the drug at the pharmacy or at your veterinary clinic, then read through that. Most of these do have a package insert. If they're coming in boxes like heartworm preventives and flea and tick preventives, open up the thing and take a look at it. One of the real common side effects that we see, and it's not necessarily idiosyncratic, but it's pretty common with the topical flea and tick products like the Frontlines, the Vectras, the Advantages, Advantix, all those, is as that product dries, it evaporates really quickly and it gives this weird sensation on the skin of certain patients where they kind of get the heebie-jeebies, like their skin crawls. And I actually used permethrins on myself and my daughter when she was in grade school, and she had come home with scabies. And so we all treated ourselves. My husband and son did not have that reaction. My daughter and I did, because we had to put this lotion on our entire bodies. And my skin felt just freezing cold, weird. So I can tell you, when the dogs do that heebie-jeebie thing, it's a real sensation. It's very, very strange in how it feels. So just pay attention to things. If your dog does that every month when you apply the product, maybe don't keep
Find
doing that.
Find a new
that,
product.
You know?
Yeah.
Talk to your vet.
In the category of the one in a million, quite literally, we had a two in a million. I had never used Advantage as a flea and tick product, and I used it on my Clumber Spaniel Special, because of course I did. And he turned brown from the root of his tail to the base of his shoulders, where the product had been given, about 2 inches wide. And I mean, just brown. And it took me a year to get him back to where I could show him. I can't remember what the relation was, but another one of my mom's dogs that she had in her property, she gave Advantage to, and the same thing happened. And she called the people and they're like, well, one in a million. We're like, yeah, we got two. So,
but if they're related, then it's more than a coincidence. And that's where I think the value of working with breeders really comes in, is a breeder can tell you what drugs their dogs tolerate, which ones they don't tolerate. A lot of veterinarians don't like to hear that kind of information. Now, the one thing that I will tell you as a veterinarian that totally drives us all crazy is everybody comes in and says, my breed is especially sensitive to anesthesia. All right. There are breeds that are, the sighthounds in particular, because they don't have any body fat, and that's how the anesthetic agents redistribute in the metabolism when they're given. But please do not go in and lecture your veterinarian about sensitivity to anesthesia, because they're all sensitive to anesthesia. If you give too much, they die. So I think your vets all know that. I tell my staff on a regular basis, you know, anesthesia is just controlled death. Yeah. And they're like, thanks, that's really encouraging. I'm like, no, I mean it. You need to be really careful, be light-handed. It doesn't matter if you have a sighthound or what breed you have. You need to be light-handed with your anesthesia. Use it just the tiniest bit that you need, not anymore ever. But that's reality, is there can be those idiosyncratic reactions to those. There is one really weird idiosyncratic reaction we can see to anesthesia in a very small number of patients. Mostly it's been cats with buprenorphine, and they will become hyperthermic. After surgery, you give them the drug and their temperatures go to 107 and 108. It can rarely happen in dogs. It's a little more common in cats, but again, not common. So there are these weird idiosyncratic reactions to almost anything. But if you live your life fearful of everything, you'll never get out of your driveway. Backing out onto the street could be dangerous. So, you know, just don't leave the house. Don't eat, don't drink, don't do anything, because it could be dangerous. Don't get out of bed in the morning. But be thoughtful about it. Just be an informed consumer, read the package information, know what the possible side effects are. And if they happen, then contact your veterinarian, stop the drug, contact your veterinarian. And if it's something that can be reported, then have it reported. I had a dog in December that ended up with this weird bruise on the side of his chest shortly after a vaccination. And it was about the size of my hand. He was a German short hair pointer.
Wow.
And had this very strange bruise. It wasn't typical. We checked his platelet count. We checked his clotting times. There was no indication of a problem. But again, I contacted the vaccine company. We talked about it. It was reported. And if your vet won't report those things, then if it happens to other people, there's no way for that information to be collected and dispersed. So if you have a reaction to a vaccine, it gets reported to either the vaccine manufacturer or USDA, because USDA does vaccines in dogs and cats. And if it's a drug, it goes to FDA. But if you report to the company, they report to FDA. And if you report to FDA, they report to the company. So there's a really good relationship there that you only have to report once because it goes both directions. But you need to know. And some of the insecticide products, like some of the flea and tick products, are EPA. So you just have to look at the package and know. But ask your veterinary technician or veterinarian to make sure that it gets reported to the company, not necessarily because you're being vindictive or evil or anything,
right,
but simply because if a number of patients have that reaction, then it comes out as part of the label. And at this point, there's 12 dogs now, 13, that right, were reported to FDA about this fenbendazole thing. That's probably not enough to make it onto the label, but if 1,000 more dogs do, then it probably will. So we just have to be aware that our veterinarians can be our allies in this reporting information. It shouldn't come from you. It should come from your vet or your vet tech or somebody in the pharmacy at their vet clinic, somebody that helps you with that. If you've purchased the vaccine or the product online, then you need to report it to the company that you bought it from, and they'll take care of the reporting.
All right. Well, more in the random strange things here at Veterinary Voice. They interact with our lives. We know our listeners love these little tidbits. So I appreciate you, Marty. You have yourself a nice day. Stay warm. We're recording this during this still cold time of year. So we appreciate you, and we will catch you next time.
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right, you guys. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.